Age of Treason Radio. With your host, Tan Stoffel. Fear and genocide. I argued in the last installment, Pathology and Pathogen, that Jewish psychoanalytic theories of anti-Semitism as some form of inborn mental disorder that afflicts whites are not just a pseudoscientific fraud, a one-sided view of Jews as blameless, dressed up as disinterested and authoritative science, but that behind that fraud, driving it and enabling it to work effectively, are real racial differences in consciousness and mentality. In short, the Jews deliberately psychopathologize whites to manipulate whites. And they generally get the defensive, demoralized, enervated reaction they seek. As an example, even some whites who have a greater than average understanding of race and the Jews pay lip service to a vaguely defined white pathology, a loaded term which to a degree adopts the Jewish view, seeing whites as afflicted with a congenital mental disease, which is the ultimate source of any problems that we complain about. Andrew Joyce's article, which I was responding to, at least implied a connection between white pathological behavior and the Jews. I only drew a line between those two dots. In many other cases, however, the use of the term white pathology seems to have the effect, if not the intent, to distract anyone from making a connection to anyone but whites. The very idea of pointing a finger at anyone beside whites is seen as irresponsible, as a sign of stupidity or insanity, or even white pathology. It's in these more blatant examples and arguments that the solipsistic and tautological nature of the term white pathology becomes clear. I didn't know until today that when you Google white pathology, the top two hits are to Tim White Like Me Wise, a Jew who literally makes a living at psychopathologizing whites. I'll leave it to the pro-white people who continue to use the term white pathology to try and distinguish their thinking and purpose from Tim Wise's. One response I got to pathology and pathogen reminded me of an important point, another connection, which I've so far neglected to mention. The comment was, Tan Stoffel is still caught up in his monocausal explanation of white pathology. It's all the fault of the Jews. Skipping a little bit now. There must exist some congenital weakness in whites, but Tan Stoffel refuses to acknowledge that. In this, he is remarkably similar to the Jews themselves. The own group is never at fault. This kind of comment is an illustration of the Jewish psychopathologization that I'm talking about. The term monocausalism is another way of saying anti-Semitism. It's just more psychoanalysis. The implication of the term in either case is that it's stupid and even crazy to find fault with the Jews. The only difference in the two terms is how much fault it's crazy to assign to the Jews. I took the comment as an attempt to use the very psychological mechanism, the weakness I described whites as having relative to Jews. Jews exploit the white tendency to objectivity and even-handedness by cultivating a truly pathological fear, the fear that siding wholeheartedly with our own race against its enemies is stupid or crazy. At the root of all of this, and the point I'm trying to emphasize this time, is the comforting delusion that whites don't have any real problems or enemies but ourselves. In fact, this term monocausalism was actually coined a few years ago by someone who was upset that I had identified and criticized the promotion of this delusion, which I called the suicide meme. What I had noticed is that certain pundits use the term white suicide as a way of blaming whites and excusing the Jews. The idea is that something's wrong. What's wrong? Whites are killing themselves. Therefore, it's not the Jews. This kind of thinking is particularly popular with pundits and in forums, which allow some limited expression of racial awareness, but more or less actively suppress criticism of the Jews. There's a connection between white suicide and white pathology. They operate on the same psychological mechanism. The rationale is that we're supposedly smart and sane if we take responsibility, if we don't blame somebody else, or at least as long as we don't blame the Jews. So instead, we're encouraged to do something that's truly stupid and insane and blame our own race. Not ourselves personally, mind you. That's a key part of the trick. It's an appeal to self-esteem as opposed to group esteem. The idea is that our poor race is ill, but not we enlightened individuals who are so capable and smart and accept the idea of white pathology. Seeing these mind games and finger-pointing as part of a conflict of interests between whites and Jews is a way to explain what's happening objectively. It's accurate enough. But perception of the conflict really shifts when you shake off the urge to stick to this objective view above and outside the conflict. When you recognize Jewish manipulation and fraud and take it personally rather than detaching yourself from it. When you recognize the insidiously stealthy and consciously aggressive hostility of an implacable alien racial enemy. Once you see it this way, it's impossible to justify inaction. When you see the asymmetric relationship between whites and Jews as essentially parasitic, when you realize it has gone on for millennia, then attempts to excuse and shift the blame become beside the point. Do you side with your own kind or with the parasite, the pathogen, pathologizing them? Here is another reason why recognizing the long-term parasitic asymmetric racial conflict for what it is more useful than any amount of demoralizing hand-wringing about white pathology, white suicide, or monocausalism. The inevitable fallback, the next false fear that gets played up whenever the not the Jews trick starts to fail, is that whites will become just like the Jews, as bad as the Jews. The host will turn into the parasite? Wouldn't that be a neat trick? It's based on the same premise as Boasianism is based. That's the Jewish fraud that racial characteristics are superficial and plastic. Who would whites parasitize even if we could start thinking and behaving like parasites? The other parasites? How would that be worse than being preyed upon and blaming ourselves into extinction? The nonsense of the suicide meme really comes out when compared and contrasted with the more apt term, genocide. I ran across an excellent example this week on Twitter. Someone signing as Bronze Age Pervert wrote a series of twits. Here's the first one from about Christmas time. When you use made-up words like genocide, in quotes, remember to whose tune you're dancing. And he links to Raphael Lemkin's page. There's a reason the word didn't exist. Let's never forget and never forgive the Jews for coining and promoting the word genocide, and along with racism, using it to guilt trip and pathologize whites. But at least the word genocide captures the essence of the phenomena, the group conflict, and doesn't let anyone else off the hook like suicide does. I'd be happy to use another word. We could call it Jewicide, death by Jewing. That would fit the toxic effect Jews have even on non-white groups. But there's no good reason for whites to care about any other genocide more than white genocide. And decrying white genocide is an appeal to whites and to white sanity, not a plea for mercy from the Jews. More recently this week, Bronze Age pervert tweeted, "You don't have to be Frankfurt School Marxist pro-diversity slash whatever to be turned off by silliness of, quote, white genocide slash, quote, love your race BS. So here's the pervert's real problem. He doesn't identify positively as white. He doesn't love his race. Even overhearing somebody else saying that they do turns him off. It's somebody else's fault that he's a narcissist. Another twit from the same series. It's trite stuff savages do. Other races have with no history of achievements. White people who need this boosterism are fucked." So the rationale here is that only savages have the good sense to cheer for their own team. Civilized folk sneer at their own team, deny they even have a team. This is how rootless cosmopolitans actually think. The next in the series, it's sappy victimology, gives comfort to the enemy. Worst of all, false. Problem is white suicide, not genocide. That's the crux of the argument here. Sappy victimology gives comfort to the enemy. Worst of all, false. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But those same criticisms apply just as well to calling it suicide. I don't see how calling it suicide makes it any better. I summed up this pervert's line of thinking as, I wish they'd stop complaining about genocide. It's suicide. But if it's suicide, something voluntary, why is anyone complaining about it? Why complain about that complaining? How does that help? Casey, a self-professed national socialist, didn't see it my way. He liked the pervert's twits, and he retweeted that last one, which is how I found all the rest. Casey summed up his own rationale this way. He wrote, "If you want all the good men to run away, don't take responsibility for anything and create a victim complex." Victim complex. There's the psychoanalysis again. We might turn into Jews. Calling it white suicide is the opposite of taking responsibility. First, it's excusing anyone but whites from having any role. Second, and more relevant, it's about running away. By calling it suicide, you're excusing yourself from having any role in doing something about it. I'll wrap up this installment with a few minutes taken from a recent podcast by Bill Rise. Rise addresses the importance of getting our heads straight and offers a clear, unblinking view of the harsh reality of our situation. For that very reason, his attitude is an inspiration to good men, good white men.
Now, the most important aspect of the white racial struggle, and in fact the foundational goal at the same time, is the 14 words. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. Now, before we can devote our energies to advancement and or prospering, we must first deal with or address survival issues. Since the very survival of the white race, that's the Caucasoid race, white being slang for that, I'm not just referring to a color here, the Caucasoid race is in dire jeopardy. if the current trends continue, and they're just worsening, as they will continue, if a radical change of course is not forced, our race will no longer exist in the not-too-distant future, okay? The white race has been drowned out of existence in certain areas during certain periods in the past, certain time frames, but now all of our territories, that is the countries that whites founded, are being flooded with hordes of non-whites. And all of our countries, the ones that white people founded, are ruled by Jews and their Shabbos Goy puppets. In all of the countries that white people founded, the power structures, you know, the government, the media, academia, finance, are in Jewish hands. In all of the countries white people founded, the rulership is pursuing a white genocide agenda. Now, most all white people are assisting in various ways and to one degree or another with the white genocide agenda, whether they realize it or not. Only a tiny percentage of white people are resisting the white genocide agenda, and even less are resisting it in an effective manner. So our race has never faced a threat like the threat we are facing now. This is indeed the most serious threat we have ever faced. It is do or die, survive or perish. There is no second prize. It's survive or perish, or maybe you can consider perish the second prize. So let's go for the first one. Survive. The power structures in white countries will not willingly change course in a radical enough way so as to ensure white survival unless forced to do so. In fact, looking back at history, one can see that those in power don't give it up. They must be forced from power. And usually that means the people in power have to be eliminated along with their most ardent supporters rather than trying to rely on forcing these rulers to change course. In most cases, the most likely way that's going to work is you have to eliminate them and get the right people in there that will change course. Now, things went too far long ago so that reforming the power structures in white countries is not a viable, realistic option. That's La La Land thinking. The power structures in all white countries must be eliminated if our race is to survive. I'm talking about the human beings that make up the power structure. The Jews and the white race traitor elites that serve them will not change course or give up since they have already chosen their path and gone way too far. It is all or nothing for them. The mud people in all of the white-founded countries will not peacefully leave. They're not going to say, as I point out over and over again, damn, those memes are good. I'm out of here. You guys have a just cause. You know, you're right. Yeah, the fair thing to do is I'm out of here. That's La La Land thinking.